This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Tanya Johnston from Berkeley, California, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 24th, episode 686. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, happy Monday morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. I want to welcome Tanya as our co-host. She's been a guest on the show a couple of times, but if you don't remember her, she is the author of Inside Your Ride, Mental Skills for Being Happy and Successful with Your Horse. And I asked her to come on this morning to see if she could make Jennifer and I happy and successful.
Wow. I like okay. It. Let's get right to it.
We'll cut out for you, Tanya.
Wait a second. I didn't know about this. This is good. I like this. Let's get right into that.
I know you usually do it with horses, but you know, morning show hosts, It's got to be close, right?
Hey, you know what? Goals are goals, and it takes effort and mental strength to achieve them. And so, you know, anything you want to tell me, anything we're working on, I'm happy to help.
Is it confidential? Because I wouldn't want anybody to hear.
So that could be an issue, I guess. This is true. Something that you wouldn't mind sharing, I guess, would be just fine. Yes. And it's important that as long as it's okay with you, we can get into whatever you want.
I got to tell you, though, we have met some of our regular listeners have come to Florida, and we've met them at Disney and other places. And they all say the same thing the first time when we meet them is, I know all about you, about your entire lives, and you don't know anything about me. And that's pretty much true, you know?
And then they launch into their 15-minute explanation of them?
Yes.
I bet you get a lot of that. People being very open with you as well.
Well, they do feel like they know us. Like, you know, we're best friends, and that's good. That's what we hope for, and that's what we try and achieve here. You know, we pretty much let it all on the line, and nobody more than Jamie, who you're filling in for. I mean, nobody lets it more on the line than she does.
Great. Oh, that's great. So, well, I hope she's doing well and everything's going well with her baby and everything.
Yeah, I think so, and I think she'll be back here in a couple of weeks, and we'll hear all about it, I'm sure. And we'll hear from the baby every morning, I'm sure, too. Well, Tanya is a mental skills coach, and you've helped thousands of equestrian athletes at every level, from recreational riders to award-winning international competitors. And you did write the book. We had you on, I think, I'm trying to remember, it was right before a Rolex, if I remember right. You had just come out with the book.
Yeah.
And then I got to meet you at Rolex, but you were busy signing autographs and doing your thing.
Yeah, it was great. It was great fun. That was a deadline we were hoping to make, and it was certainly crunch time, but everyone did a great job at the publisher, and we were able to get it done, and Rolex was our first outing and really had a great launch last summer, and it's been terrific. I've gotten a great response. I think it's interesting. I get emails from folks reading the book and feedback on what they're enjoying and Amazon reviews. And I've just had a great time getting that kind of feedback. Because, you know, when you work on something so long, you're like, oh, how's this going to be received? And so just hearing people, like someone wrote a review and just said how every time they put the book down, they're excited to go out to the barn the next day. And, you know, things like that are just so gratifying and make me so happy that people are taking some of these ideas and skills that I talk about and teach in the book and really putting them to use and finding it really straightforward to implement things. And that was my idea. I wanted this book to be pretty stripped down, very hands-on, you know, so you felt like, oh, wow, that's something I can do tomorrow. And, you know, that's something at the horse show this weekend I can think about. And that was really my goal. And it sounds like the feedback I'm getting is people are enjoying it that way. So I'm just thrilled. Yeah, very happy about it.
I want to talk to you more about it, too, a little bit about that feedback and a little bit more about the book. And because what, you know, we'll do that a little bit later in the show. But, you know,
you
what you wrote about, you mean we were just talking about personal things, is very personal to people. So, you know, because one of the hardest things we ever have to deal with in life, whether you're in sales or whatever you're, you know, if you're working with horses every day as your job, or if you're a professional rider, is the mental side. The mental side of anything we do is the most difficult. And dealing with time management and all of that stuff that you have to deal with in your everyday lives, is the most difficult thing you do every day. You know, they always say 80% of any sport is mental, and that's so true. You know, even horses. So, So we'll talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah,
Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, it is another listener 15 minutes of fame moment as Yvonne Spinetto joins us to chat about an opportunity for some California ex-racers to become winners all over again. And following some horse headlines of dubious importance, Horse Nation's Wiley Boys Wiley will be here with the week's opening laugh track. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Before we get to my daily winnies, I just wanted to say, Tanya, I hope you're prepared, because we had the carpets treated in the studio yesterday, and it has that sickening flowery smell. And my eyes are watering, and I have a headache, and I'm about to pass out. So if I pass out, you just keep talking, okay? Because it is live radio,
okay.
I'm just saying.
Oh, dear. Oh, I wish I'm sending you fresh air.
Thank you.
And maybe I should be sending you an oxygen mask. That would probably be more helpful.
Oh, it's awful in here. As soon as this show's over, I'm moving my computers to a different room. Oh, it's terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, here's my daily Winnie. Well, how could I not give my daily Winnie to Nick Willenda last night? He walked, a quarter of a mile on a little tiny rope across the Grand Canyon. His family has been doing this for generations, and many members of his family have died doing tightrope walking. He actually lives in the same town, Sarasota, Florida, as Dr. Wendy Ying of the Driving Radio Show. We're going to be down there later this week, actually. But I couldn't watch it, and I saw a lot of Facebook and Twitter posts last night of people who started watching it because it was live. They apparently did a 10-second delay, and he did not have a safety harness on. They apparently did a 10-second delay, and because in case he did fall off, they could cut the show, I guess. But there were a lot of people on Facebook and Twitter and on new media saying, I started watching, I just couldn't. And I couldn't either. I just couldn't do it. I don't know. Did you watch it?
Yeah. No, that's frightening. Oh, I didn't watch it. No, I didn't. And just even thinking about it and hearing about it, like the bottom of my stomach is a little bit worried.
Yeah.
Like, it makes me tense.
But talk about a guy you should interview for your next book on mental skills.
Yeah.
Is there anybody better
there
than that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And what I was imagining, as you were saying, he wasn't wearing harnesses. If you start falling off a tightrope, what are the odds that your hands could like grab onto the rope as you fall? I have no idea, but that's what I'm imagining.
Yeah,
like,
I think that's in
that
the movies. That's in the movies.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that's probably just
gracious.
A movie thing.
I guess
thing.
You're right.
Yeah. And
My goodness.
His grandfather, who started all of this, actually, I think it was like five generations ago started it. But his grandfather died falling off. His cousin died falling off, and like a brother died. Oh. So he's lost many members of his family, and now his kids are smaller, but they're already
doing
starting
it.
On the tightrope. So.
Yeah. Wow. It's a family business. Yeah. That's a strong pull, you know, and certainly there's gotta be some amount of, as a child growing up in a family like that, it's sort of like, well, this is what we do. As it becomes part of your self-concept, your skills are going to grow because you have that that positive expectation that you'll be able to do it. Do you know what I mean?
How much of it is innate talent and how much of it is just practicing and doing this since he was two? And then also having that mental focus to do it. I have ADD like crazy. I get halfway across the rope, get bored, and fall off. I mean, it's just...
like, what else is going on
yeah,
today?
It's like I'd be right, thinking about dinner. And...
Yeah. Well, also... It just the environmental like distraction, just even wind, and you're dealing with all kinds of environment. It's not like that's a controlled place.
That was fascinating because he said he can do this and has done it in up to 50-mile-an-hour winds. It's like, what?
Oh my gracious! I can barely stand up in 50-mile-an-hour winds.
I know.
Much less out of 10. Oh my gosh!
I know.
Yeah. Well, that's very. You know, that's a big trend. I don't know if it the whole. Country, certainly in California, that slack line. People take these lines and they just put them up between things all over the place, especially at the beach and practice, you know, tight roping. I couldn't even take one step. I fall off. But luckily, it's only, you know, 2 feet off the sand, so it's no big deal.
Sand's soft. A little softer than the bottom of the Grand Canyon, right?
But it is. Here is the thing about balancing tasks like that is it's amazingly potent as a mindfulness exercise, right? Because, and that's what is a little bit interesting to me from my sports psychology perspective is just the opposite of what you said. You're not thinking about anything else. Do you know what I mean? Like if you're really present and really paying attention to your body and really paying attention to your balance, your mind is only right with you when you get that survival instinct kicked in. So it's actually quite interesting. That's the kind of thing you, when you're riding, to keep your mind present so that you're not thinking about dinner, that you're not thinking about other things. That's a good way to experiment with what it takes to be mindful.
Which is exactly why I have never competed.
There we go, Glenn. So now we know in order to help reduce your ADD, we need to have you doing more risk your life test.
Is that what I said?
Is that correct? Is that what you just said?
That's what my wife got out of it.
I'm not sure that's what I said. Oh my gosh. We could also do this like very close. It's amazing how you can simulate it. You know, you can do any kind of balancing task. You can be on a Bosu ball. You can be on one foot with your eyes closed. It can be very, very simple and safe, might I add, and get the same effect.
I think I'll go there. I think that'll be great.
Yeah.
I'll start there first.
Let's start you off there, Glenn. Yeah, how about that? Yeah.
I noticed Jennifer wants to collect my life insurance policy is pretty much what that's about.
Oh, dear.
All right. Your turn for a daily Winnie.
Okay, so my daily Winnie is going to be going a shout out to Lindsay White of Riders for Helmets. She pulled an amazing job this past weekend on Saturday for International Helmet Awareness Day. And just so great, her efforts over the past couple of years of developing helmet awareness in this country, and now it's going global. And there was I don't know how many, I don't know the exact tally of how many countries were involved, but what it was on Saturday, I know you had her on Friday, was that tack shops around the world could sign up and offer discounts on helmets. And I'm just really passionate about this cause. I've spoken at multiple safety awareness seminars with Riders for Helmets, and Lindsay's just fantastic and doing such a great job and promoting helmet use across equestrian disciplines. So it's something she does tirelessly and for no pay, and you know she's working so hard, and I just think it's an amazing effort, and obviously growing every time she puts on one of these events. So big shout out to her and promoting safety.
Yeah, we had
absolutely. And this
we went out on. Oh, there you go. Thank you, Jennifer. We went out on Saturday. Jennifer looked at her helmet dates, and both of her helmets, one was 10 years old and one was like 7 years old. So it was time for us to head out and get a new helmet. We did that. I'll give a shout out to the Tack Shack here in Ocala. We went down the street. She tried on a helmet, and they had the sale going on, and she bought her helmet at 20% off. So that was a good thing.
Excellent. Excellent. See, and that's something people just really, and that awareness of just, you know, that the foam and the materials do break down over time, and people being aware of that. I know that's something a lot of times in the old days, nobody thought about it. I mean, you had a hard hat, and if you still owned it and it still wasn't, you know, covered in dust and all of that. Anyway, it's good to be aware of that as well as helmet fit. Even people that already wear helmets, there's still more to know. So,
yeah, and you know, you buy one of these and time goes by and you don't realize you put it on every day and you use it. And there's a tag right in it that has a date. That's how you see what the age is. And you use them, but time goes by and you don't realize it's been five, 6 years. Matter of fact, we talked to my sister-in-law and looked at her helmet, and it was more than five, you know, it was like 7 years old. And she bought one on Saturday too. So,
excellent.
So we'll hope that everybody did. Oh, another reminder about something we talked about on Friday is Jockey Camp fundraiser. The Jockey Camp fundraising concert is tonight. Frankie Lovato, our good friend, was on Friday having a great time talking about that. He is doing the concert. He is going to be playing the piano and singing, and he's going to be doing this for 2 hours from tonight from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time at jockeyworld.net is where you find the link. You can call in and make a donation. You can make a donation on his website. And what this money is being raised for is every year he does what's called Jockey Camp, where he brings young aspiring kids in who want to be jockeys someday, and he puts them through a week camp on what it's like to be a jockey and really lets them know. He doesn't sugarcoat it either. He lets them know what it's really going to be like, because, you know, it is a tough life. It's a life where there's talk about mental. That's an extreme mental game, and there's a lot more negatives than there is positives in that life. He talks about that, and then they get to ride and do different things, and you know, they learn how to be jockeys. So it's a neat thing that he does, and we love Frankie. So if you want to tune in tonight and hear him do some singing and some playing to the piano and request a song from him, I'm going to call in tonight too. You can find it all at jockeyworld.net from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, and take a listen. Frankie's I think he's a little nervous about this one, because it's been a while since he played a concert, so
No.
We'll see. It takes guts to do that live, you know, on like that.
Yeah.
Takes guts taking requests and playing songs you haven't played in 10 years. It takes guts.
For sure. Yeah, no, for sure. That sounds like an amazing program, though.
So he's putting it out there. Were you a hunter jumper rider?
You know, let's use the present tense.
Okay.
In fact, because I still ride in show, but I have my whole life. Yeah, I ride in show out here in California, and I'm lucky to do so. And I ride with Hope and Ned Glenn up in Petaluma. So it's great. And I definitely, over the years, have used all of the skills I teach, you know, and continue to do so. So it's nice in that way that I walk the talk, I think.
Mostly jumpers?
I personally focus on the equitation and the metals.
Okay.
So, and I'm a catch rider. So I ride horses that are for sale, or, you know, for a particular metal final will lease me a horse or that kind of thing. But I'm always kind of finding new things to ride, which is great fun, and getting to know a new horse quickly and effectively is something that I find to be an interesting challenge. And that's sort of how I make it all work. So
how do you balance that? This is for Jamie's sake. Who obviously, you know, in her 30s has her first kid, and life's going to change as to what she knows it. That a month ago. So what? How do you? You have three daughters. How do you balance everything, and then have a career too?
Yeah, well, it's a good question. The good thing now is that, you know, everyone's in school, so that provides a lot of flexibility. When I first had Sophie, because I have a daughter and two stepdaughters, when I first had Sophie and she was a baby, I found a babysitter/nanny who would come out to the barn. I would go up to the barn and she'd meet me there, and my daughter would get some nice outside time and cruise around at the barn, even as a little one. And so that's the only way I got out to ride. And also, obviously, at least for me, I've cut way back. I mean, I only ride once or twice a week now. Yeah, it's important. I don't know. My philosophy, luckily, I don't know. I must have gotten this from my mom, that, you know, the happier you are, the happier everyone around you is going to be. So making sure to keep feeding your own passion while you're being a caretaker for others is so, so key. So it just takes creativity, really, more than anything else. And I'm lucky with my job. It's flexible hours because I set them. So
right.
I can say, okay, I can take appointments here, and I just block out little chunks of time to get out to the barn. So, yeah, creativity is a big key, and also asking for help. And that's something, I don't know. Some people are good at that. I've never been a big ask for help person. So that took me a little bit of time to learn that one. But it's really important. And as a mom, you're 24/7, obviously, but it doesn't mean you have to do everything yourself. You know, you ask for help and get a team approach, hopefully with your partner and family around you and all that good stuff. So yeah, it is more challenging. I think, however, even more important to make sure you get that time. Do you know what I mean? It's sort
right.
of both. It sort of just ramps up the importance, and it ramps up how difficult it is to find the time. But I think it's so key for maintaining your own health and happiness and psychological well-being. So hopefully she's going to have some good support to keep getting out to the barn. She has her own horse, and she's an eventer, right?
Yeah, she's an eventer, and she has her own farm there, and they have 6 or 7 horses right on the property. So, you know, it's going to
be
somewhat easier for her because she won't have to drive to a location. You know, it's right out the back door.
Mm-hmm.
But when, you know, when they're little, I think when they're infants, like, you know, she's got, it's almost easier, isn't it? And then when they get to be that 2-year-old age, when they're into everything, is when it gets when you really have to keep your eye on them a little more. When they're just laying there in a crib, it's not so bad. Put them in the car seat and bring
them
along.
And then it's easy at first, and then it's a little tougher, like 3 to 6, and then it gets easier again because you can say, all right, go off and, you know.
Yeah, go play.
Go ride your bike. Yeah, exactly.
Now, are any of the daughters into horses yet?
Well, they've all ridden a little bit. And my Sophie takes a little bit of riding lessons. She's on like the once every, 7-week program. It's hard to get her out to the barn. But yeah, they've all been exposed. And I'm sure if we lived on a farm, I'm sure they would all ride much more than they do. It's really a proximity thing living here in Berkeley. It's a bit of a drive to wherever, there's a few barns that I can get to, but I'm waiting for it to really bite before I make a big commitment to getting them. Because I grew up commuting. I mean, I've so little commuting and being in the car to get to whichever barn I was riding at. I don't want to sign anyone up for that unless it's super burning passion for them. So far, it hasn't struck quite that way yet. So we'll see.
So how far is it to drive to the barn for you, Tanya?
For me, it's about 45, 50 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And I'm a reverse commute. So, yeah. Yeah, it's not
wow,
small.
Wow, that's tough.
Yeah. So Sophie rides with others. Yeah.
You're in California, and, you know, the only thing Glenn and I know about California is what we see on the TV set. Is it 45 or 50 minutes to get to anything?
Well,
because of the traffic?
No. No, but it is about 20 minutes to get to anything. And it's so funny. It's not because of the distance necessarily. It's also just because of, traffic and all that kind of thing. If it was just a straight shot, it'd be a lot faster. But, yeah, you just get used to it. I don't know. I guess other states that are big, just like I'm sure in Texas, I think it's even more extreme. I think it's more like an hour and a half to get anywhere in Texas. But, yeah, no, it's something you just get used to. But like I said, I wouldn't wish it upon anyone, that kind of commute. That's kind of, I think people that have their horse in their backyard and train their horse in their own ring, I mean, that must be so fun. I don't know what I would do with all the time. I got back. On the other hand, you're out there and you're fixing the broken, you know, water pipe.
Yes.
So I don't know. Maybe
yes.
the time trade-off would be.
It is. It is a big trade-off. When we had our own farm, we had about 100 acres. And, you know, I can honestly say we probably spent more time fixing and repairing and keeping up than we did riding and driving, you know. So
you
do have that, too.
Definitely.
Now, you said your barn's in Petaluma. What a pretty part of California, though,
gorgeous.
Right up there near Napa and wine country.
Yes, absolutely. No, it's beautiful. And if you had to have a drive, you know, that's not a bad one to have. So I'm certainly not complaining. Absolutely.
Give everybody
and so many people have.
Go ahead.
What?
Sorry. I was just going to give everybody a reference point is Berkeley is right across the bay from San Francisco and Petaluma is just north of San Francisco. So
exactly. Yeah. Very, very well done. I see you don't come out here that often. I don't understand, but that's very good.
Well,
yes.
You know, I know Petaluma because I listen to the Twit Network of podcasts. That's actually what the Horse Radio Network was kind of designed after, Leo Laporte's Twit Network, which is all tech podcasts. And he's in Petaluma. So I know a lot about Petaluma just by listening to him.
Great. No, it's a great town. It's really, really, really very cool. A lot of different things up there.
There's a wine train that's up that way somewhere where you can take a train and then you go do wine tastings. And that Jennifer wants to do that. That's on her bucket list at some point.
Yeah, it goes right up there. I was just up there this weekend, in fact, up in St. Helena doing some wine tasting. And my fiance plays in a band, so we were up there. He played a gig Saturday night, and it was great fun. And I was driving up there. In fact, I was thinking, gosh, we need to come up here more often. You know, you don't go up there. You know, it's hard to be a tourist in your own backyard. You know, so but once in a while, it's good to be reminded, hey, this is beautiful, and you should get up here more. So
yeah, people actually travel to go see that.
Right. I was going to say about the whole commuting piece, so many people have commutes to their barn that's something I sometimes talk about with folks is how to use that time kind of to your advantage to sort of get yourself focused and ready to ride.
Well, there's only one thing they should do. I'm going to interrupt you because there's only one thing they should do in that drive is listen to our shows, the Horse Radio Network, just saying. It's the only thing.
All right. Well, maybe if they can carve out 5 minutes just to sort of put their day behind them and get prepared to ride their horse and be present. That's the only thing I would add. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And listen to our shows on the way up. Just saying. Just to get that plug in.
Yeah.
Because actually that is how a lot of people listen is on their drives to work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. And doing chores and all that kind of stuff, I'm sure, too, around the barn.
Well, we're going to keep this in California. We're going to head a little further south with our first guest of the day. Jennifer is going to give her a call here, and we're going to talk. This is actually a listener of ours that wrote us a note. We love to highlight listeners when they have something they want to talk about or promote. So, if you have an event in your area, and we love to talk about local things, too. So if you have an event in your area, drop us a note, and we'll get you on the air to talk about it. And we have Yvonne Spinetto is going to be on here shortly talking about something going on in San Diego, California. But before that, we have to hear from our title sponsor for today, and that's Omega Alpha Equine. We'll be right back.
Omega Alpha specializes in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance, and they know how much personality and behavior can factor in the quality of our relationship, whether we're an Olympic-level competitor or modest weekend warrior. That's why they've created three different all-natural formulas to help us get the most out of our horse-to-human relationship. Chill Liquid, formulated especially for horses with pre-performance jitters, Chill Ultra Pace with the added benefits of B1 and magnesium, and Premare, the hormone balancer for witchy mares, and you know who you are. Look for all of Omega Alpha's all-natural formulas at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, we want to thank Omega Alpha Equine for being a sponsor of Horses in the Morning since we started the show 2 years ago. They've been a terrific sponsor. It's OmegaAlphaEquine.com. We're going to get to our first guest here in a second. But before we do, I just wanted to mention that we also, last week on Wednesday, had Victoria on from horseandcountry.tv, and she talked about the fact that she was at the Hickstead Derby, and we talked all about the Hickstead Derby. That's the one that has the huge bank, and being being in the jumping world, you know all about the Hickstead Derby.
Mm-hmm.
Well, British show jumper Philip Miller won that with the only clear round of the day on Cartier Z to take the 53rd Hickstead Derby on Sunday. He's 36 years old, and as I said, he had the only clear round. He said he was a little nervous about some of the jumps. Well, no kidding.
I think that's a healthy response to that particular event. I think that's very adaptive of him, yes.
There's some videos on YouTube. You can just look up Hickstead Derby 2013, and you'll find some videos of some of the rounds on YouTube. They're already up there, so take a look. Oh, some of those jumps are just darn scary. I mean, just... Really
yeah,
scary.
No, they're mountains. Yeah, absolutely. All those kind of banks have always particularly impressed me, because when you're sitting up on your horse, it's just quite a drop.
Well,
as you look down, I mean, my goodness.
And he apparently, actually, Cartier is Carter is his barn name. Is a beautiful gray. I mean, just a beautiful gray horse. Let me see. Got him as a 3-year-old, and he has kept him ever since. So this is a keeper for him and one of his horses. So congratulations to Philip Miller of England for winning that particular class.
Yeah.
Well,
absolutely.
Speaking of horse shows, let's continue on talking to one of our listeners who dropped us a note. And it's always exciting when we get to talk to listeners. Her name is Yvonne Spinetto of the Sunnyside Saddle Club in San Diego, California. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning and dropping us the note there last week about your shows. We always like to highlight local things because there's so much fun. That's where we all start, is in the local shows and local competitions is where we all begin. So tell us a little bit about yourself before we talk about the club.
Oh, well, thank you. I've been involved with horses for 40 years, and had a wonderful opportunity to do a couple rescues. And it has just really been a pleasure to be involved with the Thoroughbreds. And that's kind of what our club is all about, is just giving opportunity to people, both children and adults. And our club, because of your guys' show, about a year ago, we all were sitting around and thinking of a way to be able to bring in new shows and new people into our club.
Now, wait a minute. You said because of our show, so I'm getting nervous, Yvonne, that was it good? I'm just saying. It was a good thing, right?
Well, I'm an avid listener.
Okay.
And you guys mentioned about the jockey club
being able
to offer their tip shows. And that was about a year ago, I think, wasn't it?
Yes. What's tip stand for again? Thoroughbred
Incentive Program.
Okay, gotcha.
And it's actually ran by the Jockey Club. And what they do is they provide a venue for people that have owned Thoroughbreds to come on out and show and be rewarded for that. Because Thoroughbreds really don't have a venue of their own other than racing. And we have, 100,000 horses coming off the track that basically aren't recognized by any particular venue. Other than, 3-day eventing, I think, is really good for the Thoroughbreds, and stadium jumping. There's some dressage, but it's not as strong as it used to be.
Right. And actually, in eventing, they got away from the Thoroughbreds for a while back in the 90s and then in the early 2000s. And recently, Thoroughbreds have really been making a comeback again, and more professional riders are going back to Thoroughbreds. What have you seen in the in your world there, Tonya?
Yeah, it's the same, actually. So it went so far to the warm blood side, and I think now there are some similar incentives, I think, in the hunter jumper world to bring back the Thoroughbred and just start remembering how fantastic a horse they are and start really promoting them and absolutely giving them second careers. And sometimes so many that are bred for racing don't make it, and those horses too. So I think it's really coming on stronger now, and also recognizing, you know, because everyone says, oh, to get the well-bred horse, you're going to Europe. But it's just so many fantastic, you know, breeding programs in our country, and having people cast their eye back here, back to the United States, and ride and train those horses. Absolutely. That's terrific.
Now, the Sunnyside Saddle Club. Go ahead, Yvonne.
What? Sorry. Over in England, they really respect the thoroughbreds quite a bit. We're here in the United States. I think we've just kind of gotten to the point to where we're so used to commonly seeing them. It's like, oh, well, that's a thoroughbred. Oh, okay. And people take them for granted. But talk about personality. They all have endurance. I mean, how many horses can you pick up for next to nothing or even possibly free through programs like Cantor? And be able to trace your horse's bloodlines all the way back to the 1600s. It's incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now,
but
I wanted to ask you about the Saddle Club. You guys do regular shows. I mean, you have shows all the time out there, and you added the tip program into your current shows. How many riders will you get at an average show, would you say, in general?
Oh, we'll probably average about 30 to 40 riders of all mixed breeds and all different ages. Sunnyside Saddle Club has actually been in effect since 1961. And we have a group of families, actually three different generations. I showed there as a child, I showed there as a young adult, and now my daughter shows there. And I'm not the only one who's like that. We've got several family members that have been showing all along down there. It's wonderful to get you ready for the much larger shows. Mm. And there's not so much stress for people. We're very fixated on down there. But about 30 to 40 horses is what we normally see. And we added in a total of 10 classes for the thoroughbreds. We have 5 classes that are combined with other classes that we have, whereas the thoroughbred in the class receives the high award for being the thoroughbred in the class. And then we have 5 classes that are specifically designed for strictly the thoroughbreds. And they range everywhere from the thoroughbred in hand all the way up to English pleasure. We have thoroughbred over cross rails, hunter, and then we even have reining and western pleasure.
Oh, really?
So it's kind of a nice mix.
Now, you said that the turnout has not been terrific. We really need to help get that up for the thoroughbreds. Is that what you found?
Yes, it's been really, really poor. We were expecting to at least have 5 or 6, you know, thoroughbred horse owners in for the tip classes, and we have only had 1 horse for the last 3 shows.
Oh, wow.
And our shows go all the way through to the end of September. And I'm just thinking that maybe we just need to get the word out to as many people as we possibly can that we're out there, we're offering the thoroughbred shows. Our classes are really inexpensive at $4.50 a class. You can't beat that.
Wow. Holy smokes. That's terrific.
Tanya wants to sign up.
Yeah, I'll be right down. I'll just find a fly down. Yeah, I'll fly down and we'll just walk around until I find a horse. But no, that's a terrific opportunity. Wow.
Yeah, well, Tanya, you come on down. I will give you a thoroughbred to go on ahead and come into classes.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good. And, well, the important, you know, it's so valuable. Those level shows are so, so valuable for folks to get their feet wet and start getting an understanding of what a horse show is, how you prepare, how you have to get your horse ready, how you have to get yourself ready. And those entry-level shows are something in California, I feel, at least around these parts, we have some great circuits of them, and they're just amazingly valuable as riders and as horses, for the green horses, to have good places to go that you don't have to spend a couple thousand dollars. You know, so absolutely, hats off to you, and definitely. Now, do you have like a social media presence? You know, maybe you want to draw from a wider pool to get folks to your shows.
Well, we have a magazine out here called California Riding Magazine, and they were very kind Kelly over there, the editor, she did a wonderful little article on it. So we're hoping that that will help get about the word. But yeah. The horse community is very small. And I know that there's a lot of people that are on the East Coast that know a lot of people on the West Coast.
Sure.
And I'm hoping that just by getting the word out,
mm-hmm.
San Diego is, we're large, but we're not so large that people, I mean, it seems to be a hub for a lot of people in mm-hmm. respects that we have the military. And so I'm thinking that maybe if the word gets out a little bit more, that we'll get more of a response so we can continue to offer these shows to people. And that's
right.
The other thing. I mean, if nobody's interested, we're not going to offer it. But it,
right.
Tanya, you are absolutely right. This is a great venue. The horse doesn't know the difference between a show at Del Mar Nationals or
yeah.
a local Sunnyside Saddle Club show. They're still getting washed. They're still getting put in their PJs and shavings in their stall. They know something's coming up. And it's a
mm-hmm.
wonderful opportunity for young children to be able to get the horse bug and just continue on with a wonderful showing career.
Right. And do you have a good, I mean, the other thing that occurs to me is just making sure all of those trainers down there know about you, you know, and going to the rated shows and maybe, I don't know, doing flyers or that kind of outreach, because it's the trainers that really make those decisions so often of what's on the schedule and what's on the calendar. So I don't know how you've done any outreach to them specifically, but that seems like a good bet, you know.
You're absolutely right. We've done a couple flyers at the local
mm-hmm.
feed stores, but we
mm-hmm.
have noticed a considerable decline here in Bonita, and we're in the unincorporated area of San Diego. And what's transpired is an area of Bonita where we used to have a concentrated level consistently of well over 2,000 to 3,000 horses has now gone down to maybe, if we're lucky, 500
yeah.
in the entire Bonita
yeah.
area. And it's just because of the economy, people
yeah.
lose interest. And quite frankly, when I was growing up in the 1970s and early 80s, horses were a huge thing. And they just don't quite have that so much anymore because we have become so urban. And it's just kind of a way of bringing life back into the whole equestrianism. And I have to thank you guys because horses in the morning, even though I've been involved with horses for 40 years, I have learned more from your guys' show. And you guys have actually made me a better horse owner and a better equestrian because of all the vast topics that you guys continually cover, from nutrition and health. It's just incredible. And thank you guys for being there and not only being entertaining, but being very educational as well.
Wow, we did something right, huh? All these years talking on the air. I just thought I was here for myself, Yvonne. But that's good. No, thank you sincerely. We appreciate that. You know, we do this, obviously entertainment is our first goal, but we do hope some, you know, people learn something along the way. And yeah, I know we have benefited more than anybody. You know, I've probably interviewed 3,000 guests on the Horse Radio Network since we started. So I feel like I'm the most educated person out there because I've gotten, you know, to talk to them personally and ask the questions I wanted to ask. I feel very fortunate for that. And the fact that somebody's actually listening is great. That helps. No,
somebody on the West Coast, no less.
Yes.
Yeah,
Jamie's going to be so happy to hear this conversation. It's going to kill her that she didn't get to talk to you because you know how she feels about showing in Southern California. So.
And I miss Jamie when she went to Galloway Downs, and I was really hoping she was going to come on out for the Copper Meadow 3-day events. And I cannot wait to hear about when she's finally back in the saddle and no longer sleep deprived so that I can go watch her and Jet compete.
Well, that's going to be a while,
yeah.
I'm sure.
You know what, though?
With
she's been doing this
one.
She's been doing this show sleep deprived since day one, so it's not going to be anything
yeah.
different than normal. I think she's funnier, actually, when she gets no sleep.
Right.
Well, Yvonne, how can people find out more about your shows? What can they do?
Well, they can go on over to sunnysidesaddleclub.org, and on there we have all the different class lists, and we go into exactly where we're located. We're located in Roar Park over here in Bonita, and it gives directions on how to come on out. And also, too, they can sign up for their classes online, And you can also go over to the Jockey Club, and if you put in the Jockey Club Thoroughbred Incentive Program, they have a full list of all the shows there. So you can go to either one of those sites and get all the information.
And I'm seeing here that you got a, is there a show coming up July 7th? Do I see one on the schedule, on your schedule? Looks like
That was actually a rain date for us. It's going to be August 2nd.
August 2nd. Okay, good. Very good. Well, this has been fun. Thank you so much for coming on and being brave and joining us here. And be, you know, we're glad that we have a presence, that we're being heard there in Southern California, because there's no more beautiful place. So thank you very much and good luck with the show. I hope some other people show up and you can keep this going. It's important for the thoroughbreds.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate your guys' support. And Tanya, I'll be picking you up at Lindbergh Field, and we'll have a horse all shined up and ready.
Great. Sounds perfect. Well, good luck. I hope everything goes great, and it's a good amount of time for everyone to start practicing and get ready for that August show.
That's right. Thank you guys so much.
All
have
right.
a good day.
Bye, Yvonne.
Have a good day.
You know, that reminds me, I'm going to throw Jennifer under the bus here. Well, not really. She used to train all of her thoroughbreds. So, you know, when we first met, that's all Jennifer pretty much had was thoroughbreds. And we used to go to little local shows. And I remember one local show, I think they kicked her out because she totally demolished a couple of the jumps and broke one of the jumps. And I think they wouldn't let her come back because that thoroughbred was brand new. And he didn't even bother jumping. It was just the... just smashes
oh,
it. You know,
he was just trying to explain that wasn't the profession he was choosing in his life.
Well, here's the funny part, Tanya. That particular horse, if you remember who that was, Glenn, that particular horse went on to be a national champion intermediate three-day horse.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
He just wanted to jump the jumps that wouldn't crash down when he didn't want to go. He was testing.
Slow starter.
She,
right?
She was
oh
a
goodness.
Sweetheart. Loved that horse, actually. And but she just, I remember getting her to go. Do you remember the hill? I remember getting her to go down a hill was a feat. It was just, you spent a week on a hill, you know?
Well, it was a mare. That explains everything. So, you know.
that's all Jennifer's really had. You've had more mares than gelding since I've known you, anyway.
I've had my fair share of mares,
yeah.
They teach me a lot, mares. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like once she decided that that's, you know, that was the eventing was going to be a good profession, that she went into it wholeheartedly, and who can blame her?
She was one
she
of those.
Sure she,
and you've
right?
had these horses. She was one of those that learning it the first time was really, really, really tough. But once she got it the first time, she never forgot it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I wonder if that isn't easier,
that's
though,
great.
That guys, you're the trainers. Is that easier than the horses that have to constantly relearn it all over again?
I would imagine that makes sense. That makes sense to me. You know, there's definitely those some of those warm bloods that, you know, they're going by that scary bush, and boy, it's the 2011th time, but it's still a scary bush. You know,
I agree with you, Tanya. I think
that gets tiring.
A horse that learns it hard the first time, but once he's got it, he's got it for life. I think
right.
I think I agree with you there.
Yeah. I think that's the preference.
And I've had a lot of thoroughbreds that have that particular learning curve that the first time it's like, can you please walk over a crown pole without stopping first?
Oh my
that
goodness.
Kind of thing. And, but then once they have it, they're going, oh, I'm on your page, let's go.
Right.
I'm kind of thinking that there's a correlation there with husbands, because it takes us a long time to learn it the first time. And I think, you're okay if you can get to the point where you don't get a divorce first till he finally learns it. Then you're all right. Then we're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And then you have to hope that there's a certain amount of routine to it, because I think the routine piece is important for husbands as well.
Glenn does not know how to spell routine.
No, not so good at that. It's that ADD thing again.
It's not his vocabulary.
That's
why I work for myself. It's because I can't work for anybody else. It's too hard.
Oh, my goodness. You get to make it up then as you go along. That's fun.
Yes.
That's fun, too.
Every minute of every day.
Jennifer is a saint, I have to say. She is a saint.
I was going
to
say, Jennifer, you have a lot of patience then, I would assume.
You know, I am the polar opposite, so he adds variety and spark to my life.
There you go.
She would have a boring life without me. That's right. It'd be boring. It'd be dull. She would. Yeah.
It would be ordered and quiet and segmented.
All right, let's take a break for our song. Yep. It's our song of the day. It's actually a request by Carol, emailed me and asked us to play Above the Timberline by Jared Rodgerson. Apparently, that's one of her favorite songs. You can email requests. Just send them to Glenn with two N's at horseradionetwork.com. As long as it's one we're allowed to play, we can play it for you. And this song today is brought to you by Squarespace.com. We'll be right back with more from Tanya. And, of course, we have Leslie Wiley coming up of Horse Nation with the Wacky World of Horse Nation report coming up very shortly.
Glenn the Geek here. You know, I get asked all the time by horse people, I want to build my own website. What service should I use? Well, there's only one service I recommend without hesitation, and that is Squarespace.com. If you're looking to build a website for your horse farm, training business, boarding stable, or personal rider page, or maybe even a blog, and you want to do it yourself and end up with a professional-looking website, then there's only one place to go, Squarespace. Squarespace makes it easy with one of the simplest do-it-yourself interfaces available. You choose the theme you like, and then you just drag and drop the elements you want into that theme and start adding your pictures and content, and off you go. Plus, they give you 15 days to try it with no strings. They don't even ask for your credit card. If you sell things, they even have an e-commerce solution. Plus, your new website will integrate with Facebook and Twitter like a dream. I've been using this company for years and have recommended it to dozens of horse people. No matter what your skill level, Squarespace is for you. Give it a try for 15 days free by going to horseradionetwork.com and clicking on the Squarespace banner on the right side of the page. Horseradionetwork.com, click on the Squarespace banner on the right side of the page.
City offers you convenience, and this old mountain offers you no lenience, but it's the life I choose to lead. Peace of mind's what I receive. I make my home above the timberline, in my saddlebags, who knows what you'll find. On my trusty steed, I've got everything I need. Up here on the Great Divide, I went to college, searching for my way. Next up for rodeo, seems a pretty even trade. Well, I guess fate can handle each and every day. Wouldn't have it any other way. Now I make my home above the timberline, in my saddlebag. Who knows what you'll find. On my trusty steed, I've got everything I need. Up here on the Great Divide, there's bighorn sheep. Look, there's an eagle flying down there. We got fish to eat, and up here there ain't no bear. It's the place that I reside, up above the timberline. Ain't in charge of every day. Wouldn't have it any other way.
Jared Rogerson. Request by Carol is Above the Timberline. You can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com. He's one of my favorites. I absolutely love that guy. He's a great interview, too. A lot of fun to talk to, and we'll have him back on again soon. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Tanya Johnson from California. And, of course, Coach Jen is over there in the producer chair. And this show today is sponsored by Omega Alpha Equine. You can find all of their terrific all-natural products at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Well, we're going to be getting to Leslie of Horse Nation here in a few minutes, but I do have some news from around the horse world. And, Tanya, this is one, it seems to be a West Coast show today. Have you ever heard of horses being used as tracking animals?
I haven't. No, it's fascinating. I have not heard that.
Yeah, where is this at? This is up in Oregon. It's called Terrebonne, Oregon. There's a sheriff up there that sponsored this clinic, and apparently this guy has been training his horses to be basically come tracking animals, just like the bloodhound dogs. And they are apparently very good at it.
Never would have thought of that.
I know. And they said
ever.
They did a demonstration there just to prove it. And they sent a volunteer out into the woods to hide in the woods. And they took this tracking horse and they rode the horse out and they found him. They went directly to the volunteer and they said it was a difficult place because it was a little difficult to get to. But they said that horses actually have their olfactory receptors rival those of a tracking dog, and that found that in certain circumstances, they're better than tracking dogs because they're up higher. Apparently, certain scents will rise and the tracking dogs will go right underneath them where the horses will pick up on them. Yeah. And they can be trained to track dog or people. They can be trained to track prey. Like if you're going out hunting, they can train them to track elk.
Oh.
They can train them to find those wild morel mushrooms that are worth so much money. And illicit marijuana gardens, drugs, everything that you can really train a dog to do, they can train these horses to do.
Wow. I'm blown away by this. This is amazing. Now, I wonder if Appaloosas, I know in this article it talks about Appaloosas, right?
Yeah.
Are they particularly suited, I wonder?
I have no idea. But I want to find out.
I mean,
Jennifer,
I wonder if there's a breed piece.
Yeah, Jennifer, see if you can get this guy on that's in this article. Get him on the show, and we'll talk to him about it. Because I just think this is fascinating. And why hasn't it been done before?
Right. Yeah, this is exciting, untapped potential. It seems to me, then, if you're like in a rescue situation, you'd want a dog, a horse. You know what I mean? Like what you're talking about, how to some sense go higher. So you want to sort of do everything you can, then you probably want one of each.
And the guy who started it is a horse packer. He packs out on long trail rides and stuff. And he's also the founder of a nonprofit horse rescue called Mustangs to the Rescue. So, and he does these clinics that they're called Air Scent Clinics. He's been doing clinics apparently all over the place for 6 years, but I've just never heard. Maybe we're the only ones that haven't heard of this yet. But Jennifer, definitely see if you can get him on. Have you heard of it, Jennifer? Is this new to you?
I have never heard of this, but it's fascinating, and it makes perfect sense that they're a prey animal. They are very attuned to their surroundings.
Yeah.
That whole flight reflex, they're very focused. Their life is in danger.
Right.
So this is a fascinating thing. I definitely want to find these folks and have them on. This would be an interesting conversation.
Well, and apparently they communicate like the dogs do. When they pick up a scent, certain horses will either have ear movements or neck swings or their body posture will change, and the rider knows these cues. And apparently you become so in tune with your horse that they do different things for different things that they're doing. So if they're... this guy says if he senses a mountain lion, it's a different thing. If he senses a deer, it's a different thing. A human being's a different thing. So they know by just these little movements what the horse is doing and sensing.
Right. Interesting. And I wonder now. Here's what I'm wondering: when you have a scent dog and they find what they're looking for, like sometimes you throw a ball as their reward. I wonder well, how do they reward the horse? Is it like a bag of carrots you got in your back pocket and they get a carrot?
I don't know.
You know, as far as the positive reinforcement, that's very interesting.
Now, the other thing, too, they said is because that they're really good when a horse gets winded, their nostrils get wider. Everybody knows that rides horses, that when they, you know, when they get winded, their nostrils get wider, which exposes more of the olfactory receptors and actually makes them better at it. So the more winded they get, the better at it they become. Now, I don't know if I totally buy that, because I think horses that become winded, too, are you know, just like when we become winded, we start to lose some things. So I'm not sure if I totally buy that one. But it'd be interesting to find that out. A couple other things here before we get to Leslie. Hundreds of horses have been displaced in the Colorado wildfires. I don't, you know, we haven't talked a lot about that, but it is, you know, there's a whole town that's they're trying to save right now. There's been hundreds of homes lost, and this has been really, really bad. Our friend Joseph from EquityMFG.com, who does the manure forks, is actually also a helicopter pilot, and he is one that brings the firefighters into the mountains and drops them off from helicopter and helps fight the fires. And I got an email from him that, you know, he's been going nonstop in these fires in Colorado. So, you know, our best, so far the best numbers they can come up with is there's been 300 horses killed and about 1,000 are displaced at this point. This is not a minor event here. I know. This is not a minor event. They need help. All they can get, there's a Colorado, and I guess you could probably Google this, and I don't remember the name of it. People interested in donating hay or other items can reach out to the Grand Valley Dressage Society, and you can find them on Facebook or visit their website, Grand Valley Dressage Society. They are taking donations of hay. They say right now if you can get them 1 to 2 bales of hay, that all adds up. If you can send a truckload, it's even better. But they really need the hay right now for all the displaced horses, which are basically staying at other people's farms and wherever they can put them. So, I know. And, you know, you don't actually live too far from there, you know, as the crow flies to Colorado.
Right. No, and it's just amazing in the horse community how people do step in and help one another and, you know, put down what they're doing, and they just reach out. A lot in California, we have the same, you know, wildfire problems, and folks are so, so great about helping each other evacuate and just being really supportive. It's so key in times like that. So scary. It's just so scary. And people talk about different causes and all of that, and part of it's just nature. I mean, fire is part of nature, and so being ready and prepared with evacuation plans and understanding, you know, what you're going to do and who you're going to lean on for help is so important, even ahead of time, but certainly when it's going on. And it's so true, the animals can't talk for themselves. You know, they can't say when they're hurt or when they need help, or, you know, it's our job to protect and nurture them regardless of what the environment's throwing at us. So, goodness gracious. Well, we send out certainly all of our good wishes, and hopefully if you're anywhere near there, to be able to offer that assistance is key. And it feels so good, you know. That's the other part of helping out people in need, is it's really, and so, you know, people think it's a selfless act. It's really very selfish. It's very, very rewarding and really empowering to help someone in need, you know.
Grand Valley Dressage Society. Look them up on Facebook or on their website.
Go.
Well, now it is time for our weekly segment with Leslie Wiley of Horse Nation, where we talk about all the wacky stories that she's put up over the past week. Good morning, Leslie.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us again this morning. We really appreciate it. And were you out showing over the weekend?
I wasn't. No, I went to the lake. That was good.
Well, now tell us what you got for us this week. What are we talking about?
We've always got, you know, new and exciting stuff on horsenation.com. Last week, we launched a new series that I'm pretty excited about called Unorthodox Excellence. And it's basically we're spotlighting for horses that maybe are, you know, breeds that you might not expect for that sport. Let's see, the first one we did was a saddlebred named Harry Callahan, who does Grand Prix dressage. And well, he got started. His original owner kind of got hold of him when he was about three, so he still had, you know, his natural three gaits intact, and just really took a shine to dressage and rocketed up the levels and with a couple of his trainers, they said that he's just super smart. I guess saddlebreds are really smart, quick, always wanting to figure out what's expected of him, and so that was really cool. And then we did another feature later on in the week on a Anglo-Arab named Sneeze Alarm, who went on to event at the four-star level. He jumped clear around Rolex, a little 15-2 hand Arabian.
Well done.
Let's start with an Arabian named Snooze Alarm. Have you ever met an Arabian?
Right.
That's great.
That's funny.
Yeah.
And not that surprising. I mean, I could, that, I almost, that makes sense to me. The saddlebred doing the dressage is even a little more, the pictures I get are, I can't quite line that up in my mind, but wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. So I don't know. I love sort of underdog inspiring stories like that.
I think this horse that the Arab, where's she out of? Do you know? Oh, she's out of Virginia, isn't she?
Name's Lauren Kiefer. And she worked for the Karen and David O'Connor for a long time. So I think they sort of helped her get to that level with her horse.
I actually think I've seen that horse go in Kentucky at one of the shows there. Yeah, because it always gets talked about because it is an Arab out there doing it. There's no reason Arabs can't do this, but can't do eventing.
No.
You know?
Absolutely, the endurance part and that. I mean, there's plenty that are actually fantastic jumping horses, so it's just not something they're pointed at that often, I guess, right?
Right.
And they tend to be a little smaller.
And I have to say, if I was on course on Rolex, I'm not sure that the 15-1, 15-2 hand horse is the one I would necessarily choose, but hey, you know.
Right.
That's funny.
But the more intelligent side of me says you want the horse that's getting to the other side. So regardless of how big it is, then that's the one to be on. But
yeah, those little horses, little smart horses and the ponies and they're just like little cats when they just...
Right. Yeah, no, exactly.
Smart, like they don't want to fall down.
Right. That's right. That's probably the biggest quality. Yeah, they need to know where their wheels are and then you're good to go.
And then there was a story too that I saw on Horse Nation last week. And it was about Tom Selleck's daughter. And I had run into her a couple times. I think we tried to get her on the show once and we could never get through to her. But is she still riding?
Yeah. I stalked her Twitter account for a good, 45 minutes, kind of living vicariously through her exploits in and out of the saddle. And, it sounds like she's still riding, still competing. She's based out of California, I believe. She's one of those gals who recently had Georgiana Bloomberg and Bruce Springsteen's daughter Jessica, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
These sort of high profile jumper riders who just, you know, I'm sure they could have these fabulous jet-setting sorts of lives. You know?
Well, and of course, her dad, Tom, her dad, Tom Selleck, was really into horses and is a rider, a bit of a cowboy, and played in that movie Quigley Down Under, which you won't remember because that was probably before you were born. But he was a sharpshooter in that movie and, you know, has been in a ton of movies where he's ridden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she grew, you know, being in California, came up through the ranks, has ridden forever, and I remember when she first started, we'd hear little whisperings of, oh, I saw Tom Selleck at the horse show, and, you know, that was an excitement there for a bit. Yeah, definitely.
And Tom's on that Blue Bloods. We watched that series where he plays the New York City police chief. It's a good series. Yeah, he's still on that.
Oh.
And that's been doing very well, and it's been picked up again. So what that means is she'll have enough money to keep riding is what that means. Dad's working.
Right.
That's what that means.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, well, you know, I was just sort of stalking her online, and she just, you know, she was like, oh, yeah, I flew to, you know, Istanbul for my friend Brittany's birthday party, and, you know, and then there's a picture of her, like, on a yacht, like, drinking champagne, and then there's a picture of her jumping some great big fence on her horse. I'm like, I want, of course, you know, she's just tall and blonde and beautiful and, like, you know, 20, in her early 20s. I'm like, I want her life. I want that.
And why is it that all of the daughters of the celebrities, you named a few of them just a minute ago, and we've had some of them on the show, and they've been very nice, but all the daughters of the celebrities, they're like cut out of a cookie cutter. They're tall, blonde, and beautiful. It's like they required to be, you know? I don't know how that happens, but... Let's talk before we all die of jealousy here. Let's talk about Cake Rex, because that's one I saw on your page that I gotta talk about. This is a post that was on Horse Nation last week, and I love the fact, and I gotta tell you, you know, everybody, you have the job everybody wants. You just get to play on Google all day and get paid for it. I mean, that's all you do is play on Google, but you come up with the most creative stuff. I got to compliment you. You do come up with the most creative stuff that I'm going, where'd she get this from? But this was 10 horse cake wrecks. These were pictures of horse cakes that just went wrong. And there are some disturbing cakes in here. Like the first one, okay? The second one, actually, down from CakeRex.com, where it looks like he's had his... It's a picture of a... It's a cake of a horse's head, which is beautiful, until you get to the part that looks like a bloody mess that his head has just been chopped off, like in The Godfather.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Yeah, The Godfather.
Ugh.
And who wants to eat that cake? Not me.
I don't want the red part, that's for sure. And then
the one below that.
Yes.
Worse.
Okay, people, let's start here. Stop making cakes that have things that look like a poop pile on the top. It's just not appetizing. And this one, for some reason, was especially good, actually, at it.
Wow. That's an interesting thing to aspire to. Maybe it takes practice. I don't know. I mean, I would imagine, right?
There are some ugly cakes here. There are some really ugly cakes.
Yeah. And the one of the horse butt down at the bottom, that's attractive.
Yeah, and then it's written on it that says, good luck in life. And that's a picture of a horse's butt. It's a cake of a horse's butt. That one was funny. I don't know where you find this stuff. You have to look a long time.
I do. And I do have a great job.
Yeah. How fun.
Can I complain about another post?
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm really, really, really getting tired of the prancer-sizing video, lady. And now all the copycats.
Oh, that is everywhere.
Now you have Thor doing a prancer. And this guy looks like he's a leftover from the Renaissance fairs of about the 60s. and he's in this Thor outfit, sort of Thor outfit. And he's doing the prancer size. I almost wanted to throw up. I did almost a little bit in my mouth, just saying. It's pretty bad.
Oh, my goodness.
Cute. That's kind of cute. And then we had another post earlier in the week. Did you hear about this John Mayer released a music video that was just like 4.5 minutes of the Prancer Size Lady just like cantering down the street to in time with whatever his latest song is. It's ridiculous.
Was it they? Well, I thought it was it a remix, and was it him that actually did it?
No, it's the lady. It's the it's the Prancer Size Lady. Yeah, it's Joanna Rohrbach. But yeah, that's worth watching also if you, you know, as far as in the category of like 4 minutes of your life you'll never get back.
And then last week we had a whole conversation on the show about the horse that got stuck in the tire, and we posted the picture on our Facebook page, and you had a post on yours about horses getting stuck in tires. But the one we talked about last week, and you know which one I'm talking about, this horse was completely inside that tractor tire. I mean,
I saw that picture.
How the heck did he do that? I still can't figure out how he did that.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, horses are amazing. They're talented creatures.
And I want to see the video of getting it out of the tire. I mean, do you have to cut it out? I mean, I don't even know. What did they do?
By the way,
amazing.
When I first saw this article, I looked twice, Tanya, because one of the owner's name is Tanya. So I had to look twice, and I went, oh that's not Tanya Johnston. We're okay.
No, I think I might be embarrassed. I don't know. I mean, you're not responsible for your horse's behavior, of course, but I don't know. I think I'd find that a little bit embarrassed. I'd be embarrassed for them, I guess, more than anything, but... You know,
but then you went on to find pictures of horses, other horses that have been stuck in big tires. And it's like, how many times has this happened?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. You know, every day, and I'm sure you do this too, Glenn, but I'll run a Google search for, you know, just the word horse or pony in the news. And it's just amazing. I mean, every day somewhere in the world, a horse is getting stuck in a swimming pool. A horse is getting stuck in the mud. You know, it's just.
You know, we used to cover, when we first started the show, Leslie, we used to cover every one of those rescue stories. It kind of became a thing for us. And then there were so many, we just couldn't cover them all anymore. We gave up.
Yeah.
And now all we do is cover the unusual ones when it's something different. Because getting stuck in the mud anymore is just passé. It's like, if your horse is stuck in the mud, why is it even in the news anymore? But, you know, these tire ones and the really dramatic ones, you know, horse stuck in a tree, that'll get my attention. You know, things like that.
Quite impressive, yes. Now it takes more to impress you, yeah.
Now, did you guys see, this is a news story that happened and it's been all over the news. I know you saw it, Leslie, because you follow the news as closely as we do, is the A&M University down in Texas is building a new equestrian center, spending $80 million on the thing. And they were building a 300,000 square foot facility, and they got what in the pictures, Leslie, you probably saw the pictures. They got about what I'd say 80% of the steel framing up, and somebody did something wrong because that steel framing all came crashing down and injured a bunch of the workers.
It
came down like dominoes. The whole thing just came down. And I'm telling you, this was a huge expanse, and it was all the steel girders that go from the ground and up the roof and over the top. And it looked like they had about 80% of them up, and they were all flat. And they were lucky nobody was killed. There were four workers hurt and in the hospital. But
terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. How does that happen? I mean...
There's an architect getting fired today is what's happening.
Yeah, I would say, right?
Somebody's Holy design God. Had a flaw in it.
Right. Gosh. Yeah. Better than when all the horses were in there.
Exactly.
You know?
When the building's built and there's a show going on inside, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was a...
Maybe there are certain things that aren't meant to be that big. I don't know.
And they didn't even get a roof on it, sides or nothing. This was just the framing. It would never got beyond the framing. But wow. What a story. Yeah. So anything else, Leslie?
Oh, no. We'll keep you posted.
All right. Very good. It's horsenation.com. Keep an eye on it. Check it almost every day. There's always new stuff up there. And it's always a lot of fun. Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Good to talk to you.
Bye.
That would be an entertaining job. I bet she runs across some fascinating things.
Yes, you do. And some things she can't post. And for those, we post them over on Horse Husbands Unite on Facebook. That's where we post those that she can't post over on Horse Nation. That's where we take care of
those.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Well, I have my little Horse Husbands page.
I'll have to check that out.
No, you don't want to. That's really a guy.
Oh, okay.
It's really a guy thing.
Oh,
so.
Oh, okay.
You probably don't want
There's
to check
that new
it out.
Book. I don't know who wrote that book about where can I get a beer. Have you seen that?
No.
That's the name of someone's book about boyfriends, husbands, that kind of thing, going to horse shows.
Really?
So I love the title, Where Can I Get a Beer? I read that to my fiance and he said, yeah, that pretty much sums it up.
We gotta find that person. Yeah. I need to have that person on the show.
Sure. It's right up that alley, right?
Write that down, Jennifer.
You're trying to be supportive, right?
Yeah, Where Can I Get a Beer? I gotta find that book.
I hope now that we've said it, I hope I'm saying the title right, but I'm pretty sure that's it. I even saw it advertised in the Chronicle. Where else have I seen it?
Where Can I Get a Beer by Devin Graham and Tori Clark.
Really?
There you go. Yep. Sounds fun. I think I might need to have one as well. Just so I can help, because I have a lot of, you know, listen, I'm serious. When I have a fair amount of clients who, you know, juggling that, the horse shows and the family and all that, and they say they have husbands that want to travel with them to go to these nice places, and then it's like, all right, well, now what do they do? Now I've got them at the horse show for the weekend, and now I don't want to feel bad. I want them to have fun, and anyway, hopefully there's some tips in there for how to keep your husband happy.
Well, Jennifer, we have to get that copy of that book. You're going to definitely have to contact the authors, and we'll get them on the air, because that's something I can't miss. We got to make sure we do that.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, now tell us again where people can find your book, where they can find more out about you and all of what you do.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So the book, Inside Your Ride, it's available on all the major online booksellers, Horse Books, etc., Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and there's an ebook version as well for those of you that like electronics in the mix when you're doing your reading. And I just started doing that. I got an iPad for Christmas, actually. I was a little behind the curve, and I've started reading books on it. And there is something to it, although I do like the smell of a good book, so I don't know. I'm still a book person. But the book is out there and available, can ship to you really quickly if you have a show coming up. And my website is my name, TanyaJohnston.com, so you can find me there and also on Facebook. I try to keep involved with my Facebook page and little thoughts of the day or that kind of thing. If you want sort of a little bit of inspiration, it's Tanya Johnston, Mental Skills Coach, is my page on Facebook. So
now, do you go out and do clinics and things too?
Yeah, I do. I do clinics. I travel to university teams. Locally, I do some high school teams, and I have clients all over the country. I mean, really, it's interesting how much I work on the telephone. So I'm juggling time zones frequently, and which is great because it's so difficult. I mean, especially for people that are working and kids, you know, like my high school age clients, you know, it's all they can do to go to school, get to the barn, get home, do their homework. And if they had to drive somewhere to see me, I probably wouldn't have a whole bunch of work. So I do a tremendous amount on the phone, which is great. And then also when people are at horse shows, they can call in and do a little check in and that kind of thing. So
if individual competitors want to hire you, basically, you know, for one-on-one mm-hmm. stuff, they can do that by the phone, and that is possible.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. And that's the majority of my work is individual clients, actually, just really want support.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, what is the big, if you could name one thing that's almost consistent through all of your clients that they want help with, what would that be?
It really has to do with accessing their confidence, and it doesn't matter the level. You know, that's funny. People think, oh, that's the beginner rider, or that's the person who hasn't shown a lot. But really accessing your confidence and feeling that whole, being able to adopt the attitude of the show ring as an opportunity, right, to show off what you're doing well, to really demonstrate, hey, these are my skills and talents. I don't care if you're a short stirrup rider or a pony rider all the way up to Grand Prix. It's wanting to be able to, on the day, be focused and feel like your preparation is so solid that the confidence you have when you walk into the ring is completely legitimate. And so the question I often ask people is, how much of your riding is mental and how much is physical? Often I get the same thing that you said, Glenn, at the beginning, of, you know, 80% mental, and yet they're spending all their time working on their physical skills and virtually none working on their mental skills. And what that, you know, if you're approaching a horse show or a competitive situation, that's going to lead to some nerves, because you know deep down you probably aren't as prepared as you could be, you know. So by working consistently and really paying attention to building your mental skills and the way you focus and the way you channel your energy, by doing that on purpose, it's very, very, very useful and to getting yourself to a really genuine place of confidence that you can bring to your horse and then to the competitive situation. So
and actually,
that's pretty much the number one.
You know, we all think, those at the lower levels that are riding out there think that the pros, you know, have it all together and all of that. But they actually are more aware of having to deal with the mental side and spending more time on it than anybody.
Right. Right.
And they do run into situations where something happens where they lose confidence and have to build it back up again. That's not that's not just the reserve for us lower level riders and drivers.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And sometimes it's even more when it happens to someone who's been riding a long time or a professional, and they lose their ability to get to find that confidence. It's actually more, it sort of shakes them more at the core, like, wow, this never happens to me. Holy moly, you know, what's going on?
Tiger Woods would be a perfect example of that, wouldn't he?
Right.
In professional sport.
Right.
Now, he had other things that contributed to that, but
yeah, when you've been successful for so long, it's actually a skill, right? So that resilience that you gain from things going wrong or unexpected things happening, you know, that's something that is a true skill. And if that's something that you haven't faced, you know, why should you automatically know how to deal with it? So, yeah, it's a skill for everyone.
And there's a lot of pros that never come back from it. I mean, they never get back to the point
right.
where they were once they've lost that.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Sometimes
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you know more than me.
I was just going to say, sometimes your motivation is caught up in it. Like, if your motivation, if you're someone that has done well forever and then you start not doing well, it's like, oh, well, this isn't fun anymore. So the quest maybe wasn't what was fun. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Maybe the success was enjoyable, but then thinking, well, wait, I have to actually work at this? What do you mean? I don't want to do this anymore.
Well, you know, that happened to the Williams sisters. Now, you know, they were able to come back through that drought period they had, you know, from going to totally unbeatable to getting beat for a number of years and now back to unbeatable again.
And we found their passion for it and we got in touch with it and also crafted their schedules the way they wanted to instead of the way traditional, you know, tennis pros as far as traveling the world and doing all those tournaments. Now they pick and choose, and that has led to a lot of happiness and therefore then continued success. I just saw a documentary on them. There's a new, did you see that?
No,
I
didn't.
There's a new documentary.
I'm a big tennis fan though, so I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it was on HBO or I don't actually. I think I rented it. So anyway, yeah, it was very interesting. A good behind the scenes glimpse at what they go through and how they get prepared. Yeah, that's amazing mental strength there. Amazing, especially to be away from something and come back to it at that level.
Yeah, and to male players will be out there for 4 hours, you know, playing a match.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just incredible the length of time and the stamina. Talk about ADD, you can't have ADD. I mean, just because you're out there for a very long time, you know.
Right.
Whereas we're used to being in the ring for 5 minutes and then we're done, you know. They're out there for 4 hours at a stretch, so.
And the important thing then is taking those mini breaks when you do have, you know, a changeover, that kind of thing. Like, you can't maintain that level of intensity the whole time. So, but your transitions then have to be able to be, you know, 15 seconds. Okay, for 15 seconds, I'm putting this towel on my head. I am going to let down for a moment, take a breath, like regroup mentally, and then bring it back up. So, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you do, it's just much more, you have to be much more efficient at that transition. So, yeah, but those, I know some of the, especially, when was it last year? There was like a 5-hour final or something.
Yes,
like,
it kept. What it, was that? It went into.
Was it not, the French? I can't remember.
I can't remember, but it went into overtime. It was just kept being tied in the fifth set, and they didn't have a thing. Yeah, it went to like 1 a.m. or something. It's really a long
unbelievable.
Match.
Unbelievable.
You know, we have, before I get letters, we do have our correlation to that. And, of course, it's the endurance riders who ride for 12, 14 hours, you know, who are having to pay attention that whole way, because they're in some dangerous terrain. And, they're just, that's the same thing in our side.
It's a true test.
Well, let's call it a day. Thank you so much for joining me today and helping fill in. It's been a lot of fun chatting with you again. And
well,
for getting
thank
up
you.
At
Thanks
5 o'clock in the morning
me.
To do it. Appreciate that,
yeah.
too.
So, I've got a lot of green tea in me now. I'm going to have a really productive Monday. So
there
I
you go.
Thank you for inviting me and getting me going here. This
Actually, as
great.
Jamie says, it's a pretty good job because you're done by 8 o'clock in the morning. So, you have the rest of your day to do whatever. So here we go. We're going to let you go, and now you can go do whatever. Inside Your Ride.
Okay.
Find it on Amazon. We'll post a link to it in our show notes page as well. Tanya Johnston, thank you so much. And you have a terrific rest of the day, everybody. We'll see you back here again live on Wednesday morning. I'll have a Tune Tuesday for you tomorrow if you want to tune in and listen to some music from horse people around the country. And don't forget, Frankie Lovato tonight singing his little heart out. Help support him. 8 to 10 p.m. Go to jockeyworld.net. Thank you, Tanya.
Thank you.
See you, everybody. Wear your new helmets.
Bye, everyone.
Jennifer will be trying hers out today. I know that.
Yay.
Let's hope I'm not trying out for its intended purpose.
That's true.
No, let's get it. Well, take a picture while it's nice and shiny. Just kidding.